You are listening to Dr. Rob White with the AULC Ministries. Scan the QR code to visit our website at aulc.us and find us on Roku, Amazon Fire TV, and TalkShoe.
Today's scripture lesson comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 to 20, starting at verse 1. In those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole empire should be registered. This first registration took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So everyone went to be registered, each to his own town, and Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family line of David, to be registered along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was pregnant. While they were there, the time came for her to give birth. Then she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him snugly in cloth and laid him in a feeding trough, because there was no room for them at the lodging place. In the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flock. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today a Savior, who is Messiah the Lord, was born for you in the city of David. This will be the sign for you, you will find a baby wrapped snugly in cloth and lying in a feeding trough." Suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly host with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to people he favors." When the angels had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." They hurried off and found both Mary and Joseph, and the baby who was lying in the feeding trough. After seeing them, they reported the message they were told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard, just as they had been told. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Hello and welcome to our AULC Ministries Christmas message. I am Art Achilles filling in for Dr. Rob White again this week. Even though he is feeling better, he is still not able to come back to the pulpit just yet. Please continue to keep Dr. Rob and his wife in your thoughts and prayers. As a reminder, please scan the QR code found on our thumbnails to visit our website at aulc.us for more free resources and to find our past sermons and devotionals. Today is Christmas Day, so, Merry Christmas! What a wonderful time of year! A time of surprises. Do you like to be surprised? It would be a little boring to always know what would happen next. Perhaps a friend or a favorite relative drops in for a surprise visit. What fun! Perhaps your parents plan a surprise trip to one of your favorite places. The zoo, a hike in the mountains, the museum, or an afternoon of baking cookies in the kitchen. Fun times. This season of year we see gifts beneath the Christmas tree and we can hardly wait to open them to see what's inside. We like to be surprised. Wow, were the shepherds ever surprised? We read in the Christmas story that they were out in the fields watching over their sheep. It was night, probably peaceful and quiet. Suddenly an angel stood before them and the glory of the Lord shone around them. Imagine yourself camping in the wilderness. You're in your sleeping bag looking at the stars when an angel appears, and not only that, but a strong light, like a spotlight, lights up your campsite. What a surprise. You might be a bit frightened. The shepherds were. The angel said, "Don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy." She told them that a child had been born that very day and that this special child would change the world with his love. This Christmas day, let's celebrate how God's love can come to us in surprising ways. This is good news. Listen again to this verse from Luke. "Now it happened in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be enrolled." I don't know how many times I have heard those words, but they never fail to lift my spirits. When I hear them, I know what comes next. The story of Mary and Joseph. Their journey from Nazareth to the city of David, Bethlehem. Jesus' birth. The baby Jesus being cradled in a manger, a feeding trough. The innkeeper who said, "There's no room in the inn." The shepherds and the angels. The announcement, "For there is born to you, this day, in the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." And the angel's song, "Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men." There are lots of little wrinkles in that story that we should note. Luke locates this story in a particular time, when Caesar Augustus was the Roman emperor. Augustus was the greatest Roman emperor. The word Augustus means great or awe-inspiring, and he was given that name in honor of his many achievements. Augustus reigned 41 years. During his reign, Rome became the greatest power in the world, prosperous, mighty. Roman coins honored Augustus with the words, Caesar son of a god. In his day, everyone knew of Augustus, because his rule and his coins were ever present. Today, millions still know of Augustus, but not because of his rule and his coins. We know of Augustus today because the Christmas story begins these words. Now it happened in those days, that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be enrolled. Please note the irony in that. In his day, everyone knew of Augustus, but no one knew of the baby Jesus. But in our day, the only reason most people know of Augustus is because of his association with the baby Jesus. If Luke hadn't said, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus, practically no one today would know Augustus' name. God loves to turn things upside down. Jesus would tell his disciples that the first would be last, and the last would be first. This is one example. Augustus was first and the baby Jesus was last. Today, the opposite is true. I know of no one who worships Augustus today, but billions worship Jesus. There's another point that we need to careful not to miss. When Joseph traveled to Bethlehem for his enrollment, basically to put himself on the tax rolls, he took Mary with him. Our scripture describes Mary this way. Mary, who was pledged to be married to Joseph, as wife, being pregnant. If you didn't get that, let me spell it out. Joseph and Mary weren't married. They were simply betrothed, what we would call engaged, but Mary was pregnant. In our day, lots of women get pregnant without being married, but that wasn't the case in Joseph's day. In those days, women who got pregnant before marriage were fallen women. But Mary was pregnant, and Joseph honored Mary by taking her with him to Bethlehem, just as if she were his wife. Luke doesn't say much about Joseph. He tells the story to honor Mary. But let's give Joseph his due. Matthew says that an angel told Joseph that Mary was pregnant, but he should marry her anyway. And so he did. Joseph did exactly what God called him to do. Exactly. Mary has the starring role in the Gospel of Luke, but let's be sure to give Joseph at least an honorable mention. He deserves it. Joseph and Mary had to travel almost 90 miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem. The return trip was another 90 miles. We have friends who have two small children. They had a perfectly good sedan, but when they had a child, they traded it for a Toyota van. A veritable land yacht. When they go away, even overnight, they fill that huge van with kids' stuff. It's amazing. What's more amazing is that Joseph and Mary could travel 90 miles, either on foot or perched on a donkey while Mary was pregnant. Then they had to travel 90 miles back to Nazareth with their newborn baby. Most of us would be appalled to have to walk so far, even if not pregnant. What a grueling journey. Because of the emperor's requirement that everyone enroll, a kind of census, Joseph and Mary found all the inns full when they got to Bethlehem. So they ended up in a stable, and used a manger, a feeding trough, for a cradle. Kind of a humble start for a baby the angels were proclaiming to be Christ the Lord, but that was intentional on God's part. God always seemed to pick unlikely times, places, and people to do his work. If we had been doing it, Jesus would have been born in Rome, amid silk and gold, surrounded by well-trained attendants. But God arranged for him to be born in a nowhere little province. In a time when there were no cell phones or television. Jesus was surrounded at birth, not by people of noble descent, but by a carpenter and his betrothed, and by shepherds. Being a shepherd was a lonely, smelly business. A man who had options didn't usually choose to be a shepherd. People weren't usually happy to have their daughters marry shepherds. Shepherds didn't make much money. They always gone away with their sheep. But in God's view, a good shepherd, one who really cared about his sheep, was among the best of men. Israel's greatest king, David, had been a shepherd. The psalmist honored shepherds when he said, "The Lord is my shepherd," Psalm chapter 23. Angels came to the shepherds in the middle of the night. I can just imagine how surprised the shepherds must have been, and how alarmed. They were used getting the sheep into a safe place so they could lie down themselves and get a little sleep under the stars. But the shepherds didn't get much sleep this night. An angel broke the silence by saying, "Don't be afraid." But the shepherds were exactly that, afraid, scared to death. The classic King James Version says that they were sore, afraid. Another translation says, they were filled with great fear. The NRSV says, they were terrified. That probably says it best. When the Lord calls us, He often calls us out of our depth. He calls us to learn to swim in the deep end of the pool. He calls us to mount the steps to the high dive and take a plunge. So if we're doing what God called us to do, it's quite possible that we're sometimes sore afraid, filled with great fear, terrified. I remember when I first started preaching. I was terrified and afraid, petrified. Jerry Seinfeld put it this way: the most feared event in life is public speaking, followed by death. Seinfeld concluded, "So it is less stressful during a funeral to be in the casket than to deliver the eulogy." When the Lord called me to preach, He called me out of my depth. It was a long time before I could step into the pulpit without wishing I were somewhere else, anywhere else. When I finally got more comfortable, the Lord found another way to put me in over my head. Christian discipleship is seldom easy. But, back to the Christmas story, the angel told the shepherds, "For behold, I bring you good news of great joy. For there is born to you, this day, in the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." And then the sky exploded with a heavenly chorus: "Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men." After the shepherds recovered from their shock, they went to Bethlehem, where they saw Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. The baby didn't look like a Lord at that moment, but the shepherds had heard the angels sing. They believed, they took strength from the angels' testimony, and they repeated that testimony to anyone who would listen. That's what happens when we obey, when we go where the Lord calls. We get to see the Lord, to experience His love and His caring, to see His power at work, to be blessed by His presence. We have a number of obedient people worshiping with us today, and we are among the privileged who have seen the Lord. We see Him today in His manger. We will begin to see Him shortly as a man, teaching and healing. On Good Friday, we will see Him on a cross. On Easter, we will see the empty tomb and the risen Lord. Not long thereafter, we will see Him ascend into His rightful place in glory. And, when our lives on this earth are over, we will see Him face to face. We also see the Lord nearly every day, every time we worship, every time we pray, every time we obey. That's the Christmas message. The Lord calls us out of our depth, but He loves us. When we go where He calls, we can see His power at work. And we're blessed by His loving presence, and by the company of other believers who surround us with their love. That's happening here today. We are here at the Lord's call. As we come together to celebrate the Lord's coming into the world, we experience His love, His power. We're blessed by His presence, and by the presence of our fellow believers who surround us today with their faith, and their songs. Speaking of songs, there is a Christmas song we enjoy called, "Joy to the World." Isaac Watts, 1674-1748, was born to dissenting parents, people who refused to accept the authority and practices of the Church of England. As a boy, he sang hymns outside prison walls to encourage his father, who had been arrested for his nonconformist beliefs. Isaac showed promise as a poet at a very young age. As he grew, he became increasingly unhappy with the hymns that he sang in church each week. In those days, hymns were psalms set to music. Watts saw that the hymns thus reflected little or nothing of the New Testament, and set out to remedy that error. His hymns, at least his earlier hymns, reinterpreted the Psalms in the light of the Christian faith. In 1719, he published a book of hymns, entitled, "The Psalms of David Imitated in the Language of the New Testament." One of those hymns was, "Joy to the World," based loosely on Psalm chapter 98, which says, "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises," Psalm chapter 98 verse 4. That psalm looks forward to the day when the Lord will come to judge the world in righteousness. In this hymn, Watts reinterpreted the psalm to rejoice in the coming of the Christ as our Lord and Savior. This hymn was sung to various tunes for many years. Then in 1839, Lowell Mason, a banker who happened to be quite interested in church music, published the tune that we now associate with, "Joy to the World." Mason borrowed liberally from classical music, and acknowledged his debt to Handel's Messiah for parts of this hymn tune. Watts wrote some 600 hymns altogether, and is considered to be the father of Christian hymnody. His hymns include such favorites as, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross," and, "O God, Our Help in Ages Past." But the favorite of favorites is, "Joy to the World." I pray that this is a blessed Christmas for you, and that you are finding Christ as you worship today. That's our Lord's message for this Lord's Day, and I hope you got a blessing out of it. This is Art Achilles for the AULC Ministries and Dr. Rob White, saying to go out this week and be a blessing and be blessed. For the more you are a blessing, the more you will be blessed. Thank you for watching and listening, and we hope to see you again next week. Have a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Thank you for watching and listening to Dr. Rob White with the AULC Ministries. Athens Universal Life Church is a 501c3 not-for-profit organization. This has been an AULC Studios video production. Copyright 2012 to 2022 Athens Universal Life Church, all rights reserved.